What's up, heretics? This is the Religion of Speed podcast, the show for budget-minded automotive enthusiasts by budget-minded automotive enthusiasts. My name is Matt Overstreet.
And I am Chris Huffman.
Chris, Acura is really, really trying to push this new Integra.
They really want it to work, and it seems like it just hasn't been received well yet. I'm hoping that, really, I don't think it's going to win anybody over until it has 300 horsepower.
True. I don't think it's going to win anybody over by the fact that it's just an rebadged ILX. Like I said before, I was afraid that was going to happen, but Acura is still trying really hard and to make this, hey, we are an enthusiast brand. This is an enthusiast car. So they came out with their statement about, like, hey, it's going to have a 6-speed. It's got, like, 200 horsepower. It's going to cost $30,000. Like, what do you guys want?
Right.
And it's like, well, we want a 2-door, first of all.
Yeah, we want a 2-door hatchback, not a giant sedan.
Right.
That you're going to call a hatchback.
It's like, at the end of the day, this is just a Civic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Acura is really trying to, like, they want this thing to be a success. They want people to stop saying it's not an Integra. They're tripling down, you know, at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they put so much into it.
Did they though?
Well, I mean, think about all the marketing. We've been hearing about this thing for years.
They put a lot of marketing into it, but I don't feel like this is a rebadged ILX. They didn't put a lot of money into the chassis. It's a Civic chassis.
That's fair. And it's a Civic SI engine.
Right.
It's the 1.5 turbo that we can get in the SI.
Right. But as expected, it will come with a CVT transmission as base model. But here's one thing I did not understand. Let me find the little clip in here that, like, they're trying to make it seem like, hey, this is an enthusiast car. But they're only including the 6-speed transmission in the more expensive technology package trim.
You know, they did that with the old J-Series V6 Accords.
Yeah.
If you wanted to get a 6-speed, you had to buy the top trim Accord. And it was just like, that's supposed to be the cheaper option. But I think nowadays, these companies are recognizing that the people who want the manuals are the enthusiasts. They want to buy the nicest version, which is a shame because we used to save money by buying manual transmissions.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of the other way around. Like, the Acura, it almost makes more sense. The Acura is a more upscale version. It's not the Honda.
Right.
But, like, what happened to the days of, like, the stripper model of, like,
exactly,
you know, the base model with a manual or base model with any of the performance add-ons?
Right, right. You could add those as individual options, you know,
right,
kind of a la carte, and you could build the car you wanted and still have the lightest chassis.
Exactly.
You know, because, you know, that technology isn't light.
Yeah, I'm sure they're adding in all sorts of stuff into this. Probably like some 20-speaker sound system and, you know, massaging heated seats and stuff like that.
Which means the CVT model may be the light version.
It might be.
Yeah.
It might actually, like, balance itself out.
Yeah.
So it's weird to me when they're like, oh, you know, this is a enthusiast car, but you can only get it, you know, only get the fun transmission in the more expensive one.
Right, if you're willing to spend it more money. And I think we were talking about this with the Mark V Supra, too. When they come out with the manual, chances are that's going to cost more
right
than the automatic.
It just, it's so backwards from what it used to be.
Which
when we were kids.
Exactly, yeah. Back in the day.
Right.
But, you know, I'm happy we still have manuals at all. I hate that they are now considered a luxury feature.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy that they're even available. And I get the car companies, they have to spend more to make these now.
Yeah.
Because they're not the cheapest option. You know, the CVTs have, what, 2-3 moving parts? So
technically, yeah. I mean, they're less, yes.
Yeah, so they, you know, they're cheaper to put together, which is apparent because car companies are willing to warranty out 3 CVTs rather than put a proper transmission in.
This is true. Well, also, CVTs just get better gas mileage.
Yeah, they're supposed to.
And they have to meet those CAFE requirements.
That's true.
Which
and
we'll
anything
get,
they can do.
We'll get to CAFE requirements in a little bit. And the reason we're... Yeah, anyways. But also, what Acura is also doing to try to, like, make this more appealing to people is if you pre-order a new Acura Integra, you get an Acura Integra NFT.
That is hilarious.
So, I just... I feel like Acura is so out of touch.
Yeah, this is like, well, what do kids like? Who are we trying to sell this to? Kids? What are they like? What's Google teenagers interested in?
Yeah. Oh, NFTs. Well, why they're buying pictures of monkeys online for money. We'll give them this that it'll appreciate in value.
Yeah, why not buy a picture of an Integra? The Integra you just bought.
Right? From the moment they unveiled this car, it was clear to me that they did not understand the enthusiast market and what the Integra nameplate had become. I understand people are making the argument of like, oh, the Integra was never actually this. You know, it was never... The Integra was just a four-door sedan, and they also made a performance version of it.
Right, right. Yeah. There was a four-door LS automatic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get your argument.
Yeah.
But what the Acura Integra became, what that name became, right, is not what it was originally. And you have to know that when you revive the brand.
Yes. You have to know that people are expecting a Type R.
Exactly.
Or a successor to the Type R.
At least a Type S.
Yeah, something.
You know, at least like RSX, you know, follow-up. At
right.
At least that.
And I get coupes don't sell anymore, but this thing is huge.
Yeah, it just... I will say, I like the grill. Like, if they did that front end on a coupe...
Yeah, like, just shortened it?
Yeah, I like the front end. I just everything back of the A-pillars.
Yeah, I think we've said on the podcast before, this thing takes a great picture when you can't see the sides of it.
Yeah,
right? You know, it really does. Just a head-on picture.
Yep.
It has a nice face.
But then, yeah. And then they gave us this car, and then they are doubling down on saying it's an enthusiast car, but also you're going to have to spend more money for the 6-speed.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, but you get an NFT, and it's so obvious to me that they're just... They've lost touch with what the enthusiast market actually wants.
Right.
And
I mean,
don't get me wrong. Well, you made the argument. They're probably right. They're probably right that the enthusiasts actually do, for the most part, want the higher trim level.
Right.
You know, people that are going to go out there and pay money for the Integra brand and want the sporty one probably want the radio and the massaging seats and all the whatever comes on it with this thing anymore.
Right.
And I hate that they're right.
But what that boils down to is that we're going to see fewer of these on the road.
Yeah, probably.
If it's less accessible, we're going to see fewer of them.
Or, I mean...
Or more CVT versions of them.
Yeah, there's just going to be a lot of... There's going to be a lot of CVT versions of this. I guarantee finding a 6-speed Integra is going to be a challenge.
In the used market, yeah. Right? Because it was the most expensive one.
Right.
And right now, if you look at those guys, you know, anybody who wants to do a J-Series front-wheel drive manual swap...
Oh, yeah.
Finding that 6-speed transmission, that is gold.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And it's because if you wanted to get that Accord, you had to pay top trim for a Honda Accord.
Yeah.
If you wanted a manual.
Yeah, what? It was the Accord and the TSX or TL maybe?
Yeah.
One of the two. Those are the only two that came with that.
Right. And even the TL, it's rare to find the manual version. Mm-hmm.
I would actually like a manual TL.
Yeah. Those are pretty nice.
I wish they made the TSX wagon in a manual.
Did they not?
No.
Was it automatic only?
Automatic only.
Man, we need more manual wagons.
I know, right? The TSX wagon was a good-looking car.
Yeah, the TSX, I just don't think it had a bad angle.
No.
Like, even the sedan.
Right?
It was a good-looking car.
It really was.
Yeah.
And that's another argument that I make with this Integra. If they would have brought this car out and called it a TL...
Oh, yeah, that would have been... Or a TSX, because it's got four cylinders.
Or a TSX, yeah. Like, yeah, TSX. Everybody would be like, okay... Cool,
right.
They're bringing the TSX back. That looks good.
Right.
It wouldn't have even been an argument.
And people may have said, oh, hey, it doesn't have a K-Series. I miss my K-Series in the TSX.
Yeah, but
we don't even get a K-Series in the Integra.
Yeah, I mean, they're not really doing K-Series. The K-Series are on their way out.
So I think that the new Type R should, if it's not going to have a K, it should have the next level of Acura performance.
Yeah.
You know, it should have something new,
yep.
Something that makes us forget about the K.
Yeah, I would actually like to see them do a performance. I want to see them do the CRZ correctly.
Ooh, that would be like a hybrid performance car that does 0-60 in, you know, less than 10 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like if they did it, if they do that right.
Yeah.
That's the perfect brand to do it because you can charge a little more. It's an Acura. So,
yeah.
You know, you don't have to worry about that Honda problem of, well, we can only charge so much. So we can only put so much technology or so much performance into this.
Right.
Yeah. I think I'm kind of thinking if they do a Type S or a Type R. If they do a Type R, I think it'll be a performance hybrid.
Which, if it's fast enough, then right. that's okay. That's forgivable.
Right.
Like, you can do that.
No, a torquey four-cylinder with electric motor torque assist
yeah.
can be, like, a really fun car.
And the CRZ even did all that with a clutch pedal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They've proven their IMI system, or, yeah, IMI? IME? I don't remember. Integrated Motor Assist. IMA.
IMA, okay.
Yep. Wow, I had to spell it
yeah,
out to know
spell out the acronym.
Yeah, you can do it with a manual.
Yeah.
So that would be really cool. You know, if you're going to go down this route, if you're going to charge money, if you're going to redefine what the Integra is.
Yeah, then, since they seem bound and determined to do that.
Right. Then they might as well do it. They might as well go the whole distance.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would actually be like make it a real innovation.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, what we got is... I think you're right. If it was called a TSX, nobody would be raising a stink.
Yeah.
Because it's a factory turbo. I mean, it's tunable.
Right.
But nobody wanted that 1.5 in the new Integra.
No. No, we're like, okay, to have the Civic and then have the Integras based off the Civic chassis, fine. But give
right.
us a more performance one. But give us something in between the SI and the Type R.
Right. And the Type R should theoretically be faster than the Civic Type R. Like the Integra Type R
yes.
should be a faster car than the Civic Type R.
Yeah, it should go like base model Civic, Civic SI, base model Integra, Civic Type R, Integra Type R.
Exactly. But, Integra Type R should sit at the pinnacle.
Yeah. So we'll see what they do. Like I said, from these articles, it doesn't seem like they're going to go down that route. And I mean, part of the problem is I was talking earlier about like the CAFE rules,
right?
You know, and we got gas mileage problems. We got production issues. You know, we have people buying less cars in general, less money to spend on cars.
And we have car prices out of control.
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly the best market to be putting out like a product that you don't know for sure is going to sell.
Right, right. And nobody wants to take a risk.
Right. This isn't a good time to take a risk.
Which makes sense why this is a sedan and
yeah.
not a coupe.
But I hate that that's what we get. I hate that we're living in that time where people can't take risks.
Yeah, I do too. And because we were in a great era where people were really rolling the dice on some models.
Yeah.
But we're not getting where people are more cautious now for understandable.
Yeah.
You know, the economy is in shit shape right now.
Yes.
Money is worthless and you can't build anything and anything that's for sale is too much.
Yeah. Yeah. You just sum that up pretty much.
Yeah. welcome to the world.
And yeah, it's not just Acura because unfortunately we have more bad news about the WRX.
Yes.
And for the same exact reasons we were just talking about, the WRX is not getting an STI version.
Yeah, this is sad. And we've been doing a lot of speculating on what the new STI was going to be, given that the WRX is ugly, overpriced, and can't get good gas mileage.
Right.
Like, well, how are we going to make a better version of that?
Well, we're not.
Yeah, we're not. We're just not going to do it. But it kind of makes sense now where they're pricing it. Because we discussed that on the last podcast
that this thing
was approaching $40,000.
Yeah.
Now
we were saying
makes
like
sense.
If they made a STI version, it's gonna be like 55.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
exactly.
Yeah, it's just not going to.
And that makes a lot more sense because this is the pinnacle of this generation.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe they'll make I guess they won't call it an STI since that's their performance brand now.
Yeah.
They'd have to call it the Subaru Performance Tuning. They'd have to bring that acronym back. The SPT WRX.
Oh, yeah. They could do that.
Yeah.
But I put this after the Integra one because I think, especially with our conversation we just had about the Integra and what the Type R could be,
right.
I think I know why they're not doing an STI version. I mean, they said in here they want to do, like, until they can do electrification and make it an enthusiast car, they don't want to do an STI version.
Right.
So what they want to do is what we were just talking about with the Acura. They want to do a performance hybrid or maybe a performance electric car.
Which, a performance electric STI done right, you know, it will piss off mountains of people.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
but,
of course.
Yeah, you can't electrify any sports car without that happening.
Well, and also, like I've talked about before, electric swaps are fine by me in a car that's drivetrain doesn't define the car.
Right.
Well, a Boxster drivetrain defines defines a Subaru.
Absolutely. I mean, there are some people who thought that the STI was dead after the EJ platform left.
Right, yeah.
And because that was the STI for them.
But I think though, if we see the STI come back at all, I don't think it's going to be based on the WRX at all.
You think it's going to be its own chassis?
I think we're getting a Skyline GTR split type situation.
You know, if they do that, they could really do some cool stuff with the STI. I mean, you could do 0 to 60 in the twos.
Right? I think, because think about it, Subaru never had, has never been that company that had that like halo performance car.
Yeah, it was the STI, basically. Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, STIs are great performance cars.
Right.
But they were never on par with, like, the Supra or the GTR.
Right.
You know?
It was on an Impreza chassis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think what they're actually going to do is come out with an electric sports car and call it the Subaru STI as their own brand.
We could see another two-door STI.
Right?
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
I would love to see that. And you know what? They could charge $70,000 for it.
Right.
And they could have it outrun just about everything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That allows them to up the price level like that. I think that's what's going to happen because we're seeing time and time again right now, brands splitting, you know, we're going to talk about Ford here in a little bit.
Yeah.
Ford already is trying to split off the Mustang brand as their performance brand.
Which, you know what? If we stop seeing electric crossovers that are called Mustangs,
well, no,
that would be excellent.
That was part of the plan, you know, but I just feel like we're seeing all these micro splits in these car companies.
Yeah.
You know, Genesis just spun off from Hyundai.
Yeah, and they're really strict about that too. They're wanting all the Hyundai dealers to build their own Genesis dealer if they want to sell Genesis now.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Right? Because they don't sell enough Genesis.
No, it's got to be one tiny ass dealer.
Yeah.
But in today's day and age, and you know what? Let's just go on to the Ford article right now because...
We cover the WRX every time now.
Yeah, we've talked about it enough. It's sad news we're not getting an STI, but maybe we'll see something cool in the future.
Yeah.
That sums that up. Ford is splitting up from their gasoline production cars and their electric production cars. So it'll be Ford Blue Oval, I think, is going to be old Ford.
Yeah, which that's a funny name.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Ford Model E is the new company, which is... so atrocious.
Right, because you brought this up because, you know, okay, sure, Ford in the day, the Model A, the Model T, that was their brand.
Yeah.
But you brought this up, that's Tesla's thing now.
Yeah.
Model X, Model Y, Model 3, Model S.
Yeah, so here's my question, though. How long has Ford had the patent on Model E? Because I bet you it was before Tesla got the patent for the Model 3. Because I'm pretty sure... Elon Musk wanted the Model 3 to be the Model E. The whole point is for the lineup to spell sexy.
Holy shit, it would spell sexy, wouldn't it?
Yeah. S, E, or 3.
Yeah.
X and Y.
So now it's only sexy in lead speak.
Yeah, it is. Which, knowing Elon Musk, maybe that was the point all along.
Right. It still plays into his brand.
Exactly.
But that is a very valid point. That's the only one with a number and not a letter.
Yeah. Because I wonder if Ford had it.
Yeah, Ford must have owned E. Oh, man.
Because they've probably been planning this for a long time.
Wouldn't it be awesome to get the transcripts from that court case?
Right? Between Ford CEO, what's his name? It's in here. Jim Farley and fucking Elon Musk.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you don't understand, Your Honor. I have a grand design. My lineup is going to spell sexy.
And the judge is just like, what? Are you 12? Like, yes, he is. But yeah. This has been kind of a rumor for a while that Ford is going to be splitting off their electric car lineup and into its own unique thing. And part of their reason for doing it is because, and I'll give Tesla the credit with this, when Tesla came around, they started changing the way cars are sold. You know, they did the direct-to-consumer thing.
Right.
Well, they tried to. And
many states got in the way.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's why we're starting to see splits in all these... brands.
Yeah.
Because the brand name doesn't seem to matter as much.
Well, and, you know, if you're talking about brand name mattering, Ford is associated with kind of an older guard.
Right.
You know, they want to freshen their face.
Yeah.
You know, Tesla's hip and new.
Right.
Ford is one of the big three.
Yeah, your dad drove a Ford.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Ford, you know, was Ford was bankrupt in 2008.
Like, right.
You know.
Yeah. So I think that's what is kind of driving this is the new way that they're trying to move to car sales, a more direct to consumer platform, and like, I think that's making all these brands split off. Like, oh, hey, I want a Genesis. I want, you know, maybe I want an STI, or I want like,
right.
You know, I want a Model E. Oh God, that's it's so bad.
Yeah.
You want a Tesla? No.
You know what's funny? I just keep picturing an electric Model A.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that now.
Well, I think they did something like that. Maybe the Model A didn't have it, but like,
I've definitely seen kits. I've seen people build them.
Yeah. But I mean, back in the day, I think they were trying that stuff out. Like with like old fashioned, like, you know, lead acid batteries that you had to fill up with fucking acid because it'd spill out of the battery occasionally.
Like if you take a turn too fast,
yeah,
there's acid on the driver's seat.
Right. You know, electric cars have been around since the dawn of things. They just didn't work as like,
right.
It didn't work.
We didn't have the power density in our batteries. And then later we had lobbyists pushing very hard against the R&D.
Right. I mean, it wasn't until we perfected lithium batteries that was going to happen.
Yeah, and we still haven't perfected lithium batteries.
No, we haven't. But I always hate when people are like, oh, well, GM had the EV1 back in the 80s, and that was an electric car, and people loved it. And it's like, yeah, it had a garbage range compared to today's EVs.
Yeah.
And they were lead-acid batteries that you have to change out every couple years for, like, half the cost of the car.
Can you imagine buying like 30 Superstart batteries from O'Reilly and rolling up and trying to warranty all of them at once?
Right, because they all went bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the 3-year warranty. You got to have to honor it.
Oh, jeez. But yeah, it's like, I always hate that conspiracy theory of like, the oil companies were keeping down probably a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like lobbying has definitely fucked America up.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I'm not doubting that, but it's just like, I just don't, we didn't have the technology there. Like to make a electric car that consumers would actually buy.
Right.
That wouldn't be a very niche product.
Right, right. It would have, and I mean, even now they're still considered niche products.
Right.
Like it's still what, less than 5% of cars on the road are EVs. Less
right.
than 5% of cars sold. Even with gas prices the way they are.
Right.
Which really says something.
Right. And I mean, that'll kind of transition us into another thing I want to talk about and why I think, you know, everybody's tripling down on electric and it's being proven why right now.
Right.
Because we live in a society that is very intertwined with everybody. So when something happens in Russia,
yep,
we get to feel the consequences. Although, from what I've seen, this seems like it's more just an excuse to raise gas prices than it is actually a supply issue here in America.
Gas prices are very artificial here.
Yes.
Like just the simple fact that, so they, you know, during the initial COVID surge, they lost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
People weren't driving. And then after it came back, they're like, yeah, but we're not going to lower prices down to market yet because we have to make up for our losses.
Right.
While you guys weren't buying gas. It's like, if I buy a bad stock, I can't, oh, well, I'm just going to hold on to some of this money because I have to make up for my losses.
Right.
It's not something that the average person has the ability to do,
no.
But it's something that we're all screwed by so that billionaires can make more billions.
Yes. Quite frankly, like, you know, they lowered their production during COVID.
Right.
And then they came up with a plan on how to slowly ramp it up, but they wanted to slowly ramp. They can put production back up here in America,
right?
Here in or in Canada or any other place we currently get oil from that
right.
is not from Russia. We only get like, I think the articles I've seen vary from like 6 to 12% of our oil from Russia,
right? And it's mostly Western Europe that gets their gas from Russia,
right?
And they didn't even join in the boycott because they couldn't afford to.
Yeah, right. Where was I going with that? You made me lose train of thought.
Well. I derailed us.
It derailed me. We only get like, you know, let's say there's like 8% of our oil reserves come from Russia.
Right. Really small number.
Small number. The rest comes from domestic, quote
yeah.
unquote, North American stuff. And the fact is the oil companies could up their production. They have the ability at any moment right now to up production to lower prices.
Right. Gas prices would come back down.
Mm-hmm. But they have stated, and you can go find their statements from recently, or them on Fox News, talking to the hosts and saying they are not changing their plan due to because of current circumstances. They are sticking to their slow ramp up plan.
Right, because they're making more per barrel now.
Yeah, than they were making bank.
Right. It's exactly what we were talking about with car dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
They're making so much money per unit now, even though they're selling fewer units, they're posting record profits.
Right.
And we all lose when it comes to that.
Yeah. Everyone wants to talk about inflation and blame the Biden for inflation, which is just like insane.
That's not how inflation works.
Yeah. Like, I don't like Biden. It's also not his fault.
Right.
It's the companies. We have a little bit of inflation, yes.
Right. We have a horrible inflation problem.
Yeah.
But you can't blame it on the sitting president.
Well, also our inflation that we have is a lot of it's artificial right now. It's companies like the oil companies or the car companies or the computer companies realizing they can make less things and charge more money and make more profits.
Right. And the people who really lose are the people who need those things.
Right.
And barely have the budget to afford them.
Right. This is corporate inflation.
Yeah.
This is produced inflation.
It's runaway capitalism.
It is. You know, like, I don't like gas prices. Like, around here in Denver, we're paying about $4 right now for regular 85 octane, which for people in out east, they're like, 85 octane? What the fuck is that? Yeah, that's a whole other discussion for another day. But, you know, also, this isn't the first time we've seen $4 gasoline.
Right. In 2008, after the collapse, gas went up that high. And calculating for inflation, it's actually still cheaper now than it was then.
Right. So people have a very short attention span sometimes.
Yeah, I said something about George Bush and somebody said I was a history buff.
What?
And I was talking about the second Bush.
Yeah. What do you mean history buff? I was in college at that time.
Right. We were all alive. The person who said that was older than me.
Like, I'm not that old.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I remember being in college during those years and trying to fill up my Chevy Lumina and having a hard time.
Right?
Like, because I was a college kid, broke as fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You put $10 in, see how far you can get.
Yeah. It wasn't far.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And also, I think I was making at the time, I think I was below $10 an hour.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I mean, in college, I was making $6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People want to talk about wages. Man, not that long ago. I mean, 2008 was not that long ago.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. And it was a very different world pre-2008.
Right?
Yeah, but it's like you were saying, our attention spans are so short now.
Right.
If something happened, you know, 2015 is as far back as people are willing to go.
I heard a statement one time that said it was from some European government agency or government person. I think it's said that Americans don't know how to hold a grudge.
Oh, because we can't remember?
Like, we just seem to, like, forget things. Like, we were talking about Europe before we started the podcast about just how, like, long the history is there and stuff like that. And it's like, there's people in, you know, I'm just going to make up some bullshit, you know. There's probably like some people in Spain that hate the people in France for something that happened in like the 1700s.
Right, Before America was even a country.
Right.
Like we put things that are 180 years old behind bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
You can just stay in hotels and use bathrooms that are that old in Europe.
Right, it's true. I mean, what's the other saying I always hear? It's like to Europeans, 100 miles is a long distance. To Americans, 100 years is a long time.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love that saying.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just like we forget that, like, what, it's 2022 right now, 2008, right. What, 14 years?
Yeah.
Right? That's how that math goes?
Yes, 14 years.
Okay, 14 years. Thank you for the confirmation.
I'm embarrassed by how long that took. I haven't even smoked today, and I can't do math.
I'm going to add the Jeopardy theme song in there.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. Sweet.
Well, Aaron's going to add the Jeopardy theme song in there. But yeah, it's just like, I just hate when people think that the president has, like, yes, his policies and the government policies are going to change gas prices a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're changing it more just because, like, if you give the oil companies a bunch of like here, do whatever you want.
Right.
They are lower. They artificially lower gas prices because they got what they wanted.
They want the world to be happier in that circumstance.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now that like oh, well, the government's like, well, we're going to start cracking down on you. They're like, oh, well, we're going to raise prices of gas. Oh, look at that. Your people don't like you anymore. Yeah,
they're going to vote you out of office now.
Yeah. Now what are you going to do? You're going to give us what we want?
Yeah. Like, that's real manipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because you hear these. You hear people talking about this. You see people putting stickers with Biden's face on the gas pump saying, I did that.
Right.
And it's like, it's the policy that these corporations don't like. So they're doing things to piss us off, to piss the people off.
Right.
And then we vote in people who actually do things that are against our own interest.
Right.
But in the interest of the billionaires, the 1% that control everything.
Yeah. Oh, and if you tell me that, oh, the fact that we shut down the Keystone Pipeline is why we don't have this, the Keystone XL Pipeline.
I've heard that so many times.
The Keystone Pipeline already exists. The XL Pipeline was an add-on to it, and it only got I think it was 8% done? It was less than 10% done while Trump was in office. So it wouldn't have been done for years still.
Right, right. And it screwed over Native Americans again.
Of course.
It ran an oil pipeline through their land without permission, mm-hmm. without compensating them.
We love doing that.
And we literally turned fire hoses on people. This company, there was one little girl who lost the flesh on her arm from it getting hit with a fire hose when it was that cold because she was trying to defend her land.
Right.
I mean...
And also, even if we screwed over all the natives again and had the Keystone XL pipeline, they still wouldn't be upping production because it's not in their interest to be upping production right now.
Right.
Like...
Right. Anyways. But they want us to blame that.
Right, exactly.
Because they want to build it.
So there's a lot of things going on, and I know we sound like crazy liberals right now, but it just, you got to look at the big picture, and I know gas prices suck right now. Trust me, as car enthusiasts, I don't want to see gas prices above $4 a gallon.
No, my truck drinks gas.
Yeah, oh God, that old F-150. Yeah. Luckily for me, at least, like I put 91 octane in the Fiesta. That hasn't risen quite as much as like 85.
It's funny how it doesn't always scale.
Right.
Yeah, because sometimes you'll see the 91 is like a dollar more than the 85.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was. Like I've been paying over $4 a gallon for 91 for a while now.
Right. So you don't feel this as much.
No, not really. It's raised like 40 to 50 cents.
Yeah.
Unlike regulars raised a whole freaking dollar.
Yeah. And I put 91 in the BRZ and I'm just used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I am kind of curious, too, what race fuel is going for right now. I haven't checked the price.
That would be interesting. Like, stuff that's over 100 octane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is that really... That's such a niche product anyways.
Right.
Has that really gone up that much?
I need to check the price on avgas, on aviation gas.
Oh, yeah.
110 low lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be curious. Because I know they're saying, like, you know, that's going to also lead to more inflation with trucking having to spend more on gas. Diesel went up like fucking crazy. What happened to diesel?
Diesel's like over $6 a gallon.
Yeah. What happened there?
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was in school or college, like people would buy diesel trucks because they were more economical and get the diesel was cheaper.
Yeah. Now you pay more per gallon. You probably still do better overall with the diesel.
Yeah. I mean, overall probably. Well, I don't know. I think it's got to be pretty close to even.
Yeah. Now you think running a gasser costs about the same amount of money?
Yeah. I mean, it probably depends on if you're towing or not.
That's true. That's true. Because you can make a lot more torque.
Yeah. The diesels. Yeah, exactly. Diesels kind of get the same amount of gas mileage towing as they do not sometimes. So my point is, this is the perfect time for people like Subaru or Acura to give us some enthusiast branded electrified vehicles.
Yeah, plug-in hybrids or EVs.
Like we're getting to that point. I've said many, many times before, like, where are the enthusiast electric cars? Where, like, okay, we're going down this path. We've seen electric cars can be insanely fast. Tesla Model 3s are like just got like classed out of SCCA. They're in like the top class now.
They actually classed them out, huh?
Yeah, because you put slicks on a Model 3 and go autocrossing?
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's like the perfect car.
It's all-wheel drive. It makes all of its torque low down.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so, like, we've seen they can be performance-oriented, but yet we have not seen any cheaper enthusiast cars. Model 3 is about the cheapest you can go.
Yeah, and those are running, probably $40,000 to $50,000 at this point?
Oh, at least, probably. I would say more.
Because I know that they originally were supposed to hit the market at under $40,000.
Yeah,
but that's only if you got no options.
Right, nobody ordered that. There were probably, it was that whole thing, you see that from dealerships, they'll send you, like, the flyers. Like,
yeah.
We have a Ford Escape's in the lot for $18,000. They have one of those.
Yeah, they've got
all the rest of them are 40 grand.
And it's got wind-up windows.
Right? You're like, I didn't even know they did that?
Yeah.
Like,
this
car amazing.
Has wind-up windows, but it has a backup camera because it's required by law.
Yeah, fucking crazy shit. I didn't put this on the docket, but since we're kind of talking politics and stuff, you just said backup camera being mandated.
Right.
There's a lawsuit going on right now against Fiat Chrysler. FCA, Fiat Chrysler Alliance,
okay,
which is now Stellaris or whatever the fuck it.
Right, because they bought them. Right.
Yeah. But anyways, there's a lawsuit against them because a Jeep Grand Cherokee rear-ended another car and killed the child that was in the back seat.
Oh.
Tragic thing.
Yeah.
But the lawsuit is against Fiat Chrysler for not providing the automatic braking system on that car, which wasn't technically mandated on that year. But it was an option. But they're arguing that because that option was locked behind the luxury package.
Right. Because it wasn't mandated
because
that year.
Yeah,
it wasn't mandated. It's currently mandated.
Yeah. But they're saying because the technology was there.
Right.
And apparently it only cost Fiat Chrysler $100 to implement that system in the car.
Wow. That's actually pretty impressive. Yeah, they were able to do that so cheaply.
Very impressive scaling thing right there. So the argument is that if they have the technology, there is some sort of like moral requirement to put it on the car and not charge people an exorbitant amount of money. This is like a $6,000, $7,000 technology package to get that safety feature.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one because you could make that argument all the way up.
Right.
You could say, well, you know, I mean, because we've had automatic braking for a while.
Yeah.
Like the Mercedes S-Class had it a long time ago. You know, I think the Mercedes S-Class was able to stop itself 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But could you sue Mercedes for not putting that on the C-Class?
Right.
You know, like that's like how far could you take it? And that's a horrible tragedy that happened.
Right.
And it could have been prevented by that technology.
It could have been. But also, like, if that Jeep was 5 years older,
exactly,
it would have been the same exact results.
Right. If it was like, 1 year older.
Yeah. Is it Chrysler's requirement to have those safety features? And to that point, why, like, if you buy a manual Subaru,
right,
you don't get eyesight.
You don't get eyesight because it can't work with a manual transmission.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if that lawsuit, like, if they side on the people's side.
Right.
And they say that Chrysler should have done that. Does this mean that, like, Subaru won't do manuals anymore?
Right. That could regulate it out of existence.
Because they don't want to get sued.
Right. Which we've discussed this before, that safety features would regulate the manual out of existence.
Right.
But at this point, if it's tort law, that's going to be once liability steps into the frame and insurance companies start raising premiums.
Right.
You know, it gets to the point where it happens whether or not it's mandated or not, whether or not it's right or not.
Right.
Liability law has reshaped the world we live in today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I can see this is a slippery slope argument, which I don't like. That's a logical fallacy.
Right.
But the slippery slope argument here is we're going to wind up in the iRobot future.
Right.
Where internal combustion is just banned because it's so dangerous.
Because gasoline explodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
When he gets on that Ducati.
Right.
What do you mean? Gasoline explodes.
Oh, and even the scene when he's in his electric Audi and he pulls out the steering wheel. And
yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm driving.
Yeah.
Like, at this speed, you're insane.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that does seem like the future we're headed towards. And you're right. It is a logical fallacy to say that we're just on this slope.
Mm-hmm.
But how far up the slope do you have to look and see the same trend,
right?
to for it not to be a fallacy anymore?
You know, and I like to believe we live in America. This is a free country that would allow us to still drive old cars, old manual cars, cars without those safety features on the road.
Right.
But if something like this passes, it is one step closer to them saying at some point you can't drive things without these safety features because even if they don't say have the laws,
right,
like you were saying, insurance.
Insurance will be what does it.
Yeah, insurance will price us right out of it.
Because the laws will mandate what we can do going forward.
Right.
You know, new cars have to have X, Y, and Z.
Mm.
But going back, it's like, oh, well, if you legally can't afford to drive your Miata on the road anymore.
Right.
Because it can't stop itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, the insurance prices are just that exorbitant. And then it gets to the point where the police know that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, unless this guy has a $10,000 a month insurance plan, that car is not allowed on the road.
Right.
Yeah. And then you even, you know, you can get to the point like what Rhode Island did to the K trucks.
Yeah. And just start deregistering them.
Right. You can have local municipalities making it harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're just all going to have to move to Montana is what we're saying.
Right. Or Texas. I think Texas will actually be like, as much as I don't really like Texas, hey, right. At least they tend to like stay out of that kind of business. Now, right. If you're a woman, that's a whole other story. But at least you can drive, yeah. Like, if you're a man, you can still drive your big lifted truck and do whatever the fuck you want.
And just register it in the panhandle. Like, yeah. You don't actually have to be there.
There you go.
You know, that way you can avoid SB8.
Yeah.
And, you can have your freedoms and you can have your freedoms.
Yes. I mean, how many Texas plates do we see here in Denver, right?
So many, right?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and supercars all have Montana plates.
Yep. So, since we're talking about all this negativity stuff, like, you know, these slippery slope arguments about us not being able to drive in the future, gas prices going like crazy.
Right.
What can you do to help out? Well, we talked a little bit about it last week, and I wanted to give you an actual way to go out and help out. And the best possible way is to sign up for the SEMA Action Network. They are a lobbying group, but they're a lobbying group that's on our side.
Right. They're a lobbying group that fights for the rights of gearheads.
Yes.
And let's face it. Voting doesn't change things that much, but buying off politicians does.
Yes, it does.
and that's why, you know, if you have the money to put into a lobbying group, that money goes to a pool that genuinely helps, whatever they're lobbying for.
Yes.
And in this case, SEMA fights for us.
Yeah. So, I do suggest everybody goes onto the SEMA Action Network website and signs up. You can actually enlist and sign up to stay informed, and they'll send you, like, if there's stuff in your area that deals with cars, like, for instance, there's let's see here, Virginia advances bill to expand YOM plates to governor. Well, I don't know what the fuck that means, but year of manufacturer license plates registered as antiques. So yeah, like things like collector plates,
right,
that will allow you to have lower insurance, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, because collector plates here in Colorado anyways have a mileage limit.
Right. And you have to have special collector car insurance.
Yeah. But they do all sorts of stuff. They've been trying to get rid of front plate laws in a lot of states.
Oh, that would be excellent.
Right. Well, that's cool. I hate front license plates.
Right. They just ruin the aesthetic of the car.
Yeah. And they're not useful.
Right.
They don't really do anything.
Yeah. They only help red light cameras find where you are.
Right. Yeah. Of course, we were talking before, about SEMA, about the RPM Act, which is still a thing. We're
right.
Still fighting that, you know.
And it wouldn't be a thing if it weren't for SEMA.
Right. So go to, it's SEMA, S-E-M-A, S, oh God, let me zoom in here with my old man eyes, SEMASAN.com. Of course, the link will be in the show notes on the website. Which you could find a link to in the description of this episode you're listening to right now, which I realize is like five links to follow, but it's easy. You can figure it out. If you're using a computer, you can figure this out.
You're used to the rabbit holes.
Right. Or just Google SEMA. That really helps. That's probably the easiest way. But yeah, they will give you ways to get a hold of your legislators. They'll give you help you get registered to vote.
That's really cool. It actually helps you register to vote in your local elections.
Yeah. I mean, we just said voting doesn't matter, but
right. Matters less than money.
It does.
But it matters a little still.
But if enough people, like, what is it? It's only like 25% or like, what's the percentage of people that vote for the president?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and there's, granted, this last election had a pretty high turnout.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I think it's something like 40 to 60% of people
just
don't vote.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
And that's for the president.
That's the most publicized election.
Right. Local stuff. The stuff that's really, that really matters.
Yeah. That's just like 9% of people.
Yeah. So get yourself registered to vote and keep up to date with, you know, the legislation that's coming through that's going to either help or hurt the automotive enthusiasts. Because I've said it once, I'll say it again. Yes, I am a tree-hugging leftist. But I also believe there's room in this world for automotive enthusiasts
right.
to do our thing, because in the grand scheme of things, we are not the problem.
Yeah, you right-wing Corvette drivers, you have just as much to lose as we do.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, it's the giant companies that are producing way more.
Exactly.
You know, it's the rich people that are taking their private planes to, what was the story? I think my girlfriend Kayla was telling me this, that J-Lo once flew her private plane, not even with her on it, just flew her private plane from California to New York to pick up, like, a stuffed animal or something that she forgot,
and then fly it back. Stuffed animal or a cup of coffee you can only get in New York.
Right.
Yeah.
That produced as much emissions as probably the entire freaking Denver auto enthusiast group.
Right. Like, yeah. This will segue into the next segment pretty well, but shipping, like ships that have to steam across the ocean,
mm-hmm.
and anything that flies off that ship is just in the ocean now.
Yeah.
Like, I've even heard studies that say you shouldn't even try to recycle plastic, because a lot of it ends up trying, you know, they try to barge it to China.
Oh, God.
That's what they used to do. And yeah. That's why there's an island of plastic in the middle of the ocean.
Falls off or
yeah.
dumps off or...
Yeah. A lot of the plastic in the ocean was, you know, people who put it in a recycle bin with good intentions.
That's what I hate. It goes back to our conversation we were just having earlier. This is a very political podcast, but welcome to the Religion of Speed podcast.
The politics of speed.
Both liberals and conservatives do this shit where, like, oh, no, there's an easy solution. There's no easy solution.
Right.
Like, I will give credit where credit's due to a lot of liberals that want to try. They're trying to help.
Right.
But they don't actually do the research, and they're just repeating. They're just... What's the word looking for? Parroting a bunch of stuff that they heard online.
Right.
That isn't, like you said, doesn't actually help, actually.
It doesn't actually help. And it gets down to the fact that it's easy to sell.
Yeah.
It's easy to sell an easy solution.
Right.
It's like, if you vote for me, I'll just do that and it'll solve the problem.
I mean, you know, the whole idea of the carbon footprint was produced or made by BP.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was like in the early 2000s, BP came up with the ad campaign about a carbon footprint.
Because then you internalize
right.
the pollution that you put out personally.
Right.
And it's not on them.
Right.
And
people will be like, well, then stop buying their products. It's like, okay, you can't.
Right. How would you suggest we do that?
You turn a light switch on. You're
right.
using their product.
Yeah.
You know? And we're getting ways to kind of get away from that. There's like community solar stuff and shit like that. And we're slowly making our way to that. But the point I was trying to make is there's no easy solution.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you think, what side of the political spectrum you're on. If you come up to me and you be like, oh, all we have to do is this, you're right. instantly an idiot.
Yeah. There's no one solution either.
No.
It has to, I mean, electric cars aren't going to solve the climate crisis because we don't have enough lithium.
Right. We don't have enough lithium, and we're also producing our electricity mainly from unrenewable resources.
Yeah, from coal.
Yeah. There's no one solution. There's no easy solution. So the best way to help is to stay informed and actually informed, not parroting what you hear on CNN or Reddit or Facebook or Fox News or... Mm-hmm.
Or just stop using plastic straws.
Yeah.
That's going to solve the problem.
It's like
the cup you're drinking out of is a plastic lid.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and even like the reusable grocery bags.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It takes more energy to produce those than, like, it takes like 10,000 times more energy to produce one reusable bag than it does a whole like stack of plastic bags.
Wow. And I guarantee you that most of these aren't getting used 1,000 times.
No, they're getting thrown out, put in landfills too. And guess what they're made out of a lot of times? Some sort of plastic reinforced fiber.
Yeah, it's like canvas, plastic reinforced canvas.
Yeah. It's just like they're selling us things to make us feel better.
Right, so that you can feel like you're doing your part.
Right, but they're not. The only way to make change is to follow legislation and vote and use your money to help lobbying organizations that are on the good side.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So we're right back to SEMA.
To SEMA.
But, you know, there's other organizations too. If you are a green tree hugging hippie like me, there's other organizations you can support that are actually pushing for real change.
Yeah.
You know?
And lobbying dollars, they're what actually make things happen.
Right. And if you're yelling at me saying I'm an idiot for all my ideas and you are on the complete opposite side of the spectrum, then you do the same thing. Make your voice heard.
Yeah, donate to those lobbying groups.
Right. That's the point of a democracy.
Right.
We all say what we want and the majority wins, pretty much.
Usually.
Right? Usually. Yeah, let's not get into that. But the point is we all have a voice and we come together and figure things out, you know.
Right. But we actually have to come together on that one.
Right.
Hey, a positive message. We've been complaining for like a solid hour. We just got to a positive message.
It takes us a while sometimes. Yeah. you were talking about the cargo ship. So let's move on to that because that's kind of a funny story, kind of a tragic story. This was going around actually when our last podcast happened. I didn't bring it up, but now the cargo ship that was carrying a bunch of Porsches and Lambos and Volkswagens and Audis that caught on fire in the middle of the ocean has officially sank.
Oh, man. Yeah, because they were trying to tug it in for a while, right?
I think they were trying to, do something with it.
Yeah, because you can't put out lithium-ion battery fires with water.
Right. Yeah, that just makes it worse.
Right.
So that was, of course, once this thing caught on fire, that was the argument. Like, oh, see, EVs are terrible because they catch on fire. I'm like, well, we can't really for sure say it was an EV fire.
Right.
We also know Lamborghinis are just... they just love to catch on fire.
Yeah, even the non-electric Lamborghinis. They said there were some Aventadors, which that's very tragic that these Aventadors went down because that Lamborghini only makes two models at a time.
Right.
And that is no longer one of those two models.
Yeah, well, Lamborghini said they might have to restart Aventador production, like redo the assembly line these people paid a lot of money for those cars.
Right. And they don't want to settle for what was the one that replaced it? Not the Huracan, that replaced the Gallardo.
I don't think we have a replacement for the Aventador.
So we don't have a 12-cylinder replacement yet.
No. Actually, I saw an article. I think they're actually working on a hybrid Aventador.
Oh, that's interesting. And that makes sense. I feel like the 12-cylinder would have been the first one to become like a hybrid EV,
right?
Like a hybrid hypercar.
I mean, I think that 12-cylinder is like... I think that was originally developed in the 80s.
Wow.
So I think they've just kept reiterating on it.
They just keep, so it's the same one that was in the Murcielago.
At least like the design of it.
Okay.
You know, I don't know my Lamborghinis all that well, but I can't foresee them making a whole new engine all the time.
You know, I wonder how much you'd have to pay to get them to make you a new Gallardo Valentino Balboni edition.
I'm sure you gave them enough money, they'll do whatever the fuck you want.
All right, well, I'm putting that on my win the lottery list.
You might have to win, that's like when the lottery's at almost a billion.
Yeah. It's like you can buy an island or you can have this Lamborghini.
So if you own a Porsche or Lamborghini, the price of your cars probably have been going up anyways, but this probably helped. We don't actually know what started the fire. We know it couldn't get put out because eventually if it wasn't lithium-ion batteries that started it, they eventually caught on fire, and it was all downhill from there.
Once you get to that thermal runaway stage.
Right. I got me thinking, because people are like, oh, well, EVs are terrible, blah, 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 catch fire all the time. It's like, not all the time. Probably. It's on par with gasoline fires, I'm sure, percentage-wise.
And I think the people just are upset because it's a different kind of fire.
It's a much worse fire. But also, like, my uncle was the fire chief in the little town next to the town I grew up.
Oh, that's cool.
And I remember him telling me when I was really young that car fires were just, they just watch them burn. He's like, we don't even try to put them out. You can't.
And this was a gasoline-powered car.
Yeah, that was a gasoline-powered car. Right. You know? So it's like, that's nothing really that different. I think the lithium-ion fires, though, are a lot hotter.
Oh, and they, you know, each cell, every time a cell sets itself off, it starts another fire.
Right.
And then another fire, and then another fire, and these have, like, 1,000 cells.
Right, it's a nice runaway effect.
Right. They are working on solid-state lithium batteries that solve that problem, though.
Yeah.
Because right now, if you puncture a lithium battery, that liquid electrolyte, once it hits oxygen, just bursts into flame.
Yeah, I know that, like, we were talking earlier about YouTube, or Jesus Christ, I just saw YouTube on there. My mind read the word that I was looking at instead of saying the word I was thinking of.
Google's really good at branding.
It's ridiculous. God, that was such a sidetrack. My mind forgot it. I hate the internet sometimes.
It's built for the ADD brain.
It is. It really is. It's like, ooh, new thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about battery technology.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like... lithium was the thing that got electric cars available, but that's not going to be the thing that keeps it going in the future. I think right. We got like carbon nanotube batteries or some bullshit in the future, you know, like we can go farther.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I saw this experimental battery. This guy was able to hook it up to a laptop, or it was an iPad, and he took a pair of scissors and just cut the battery apart while it was working, while it was under load.
Wow.
It did not catch on fire. And all he did was create a solid state electrolyte.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then they can go to a lithium metal battery, which is far more power dense than the standard lithium ions. Because those are only that way so that they won't burst into flame.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we got some big leaps coming in battery technology. And you see those headlines all the time where like some students at a university developed a crazy battery and stuff like that. It's like, okay, yeah, but to upscale that, this car would now cost $5 million. Right. You know? It's like, we can do it. The cost isn't there.
It doesn't scale with the means of production.
Yeah. So eventually we'll get batteries that don't catch on fire like that.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Hopefully in our lifetime.
Right. This did get me thinking too, as of right now, of course, water, lithium ion batteries don't mix. I'm like, what? And we're still shipping cars by boat. I'm like, well, what if for now, to keep this from happening, like, are we going to see cars shipped without batteries and batteries shipped separately?
Yeah, that would be interesting because there already is a pretty high level of scrutiny shipping batteries.
Yeah.
Like if I wanted to ship a hybrid battery, you have to go through quite a bit of red tape, and most airlines won't ship it via plane.
Yeah.
Only, I think it's up to a certain weight they can go onto a cargo plane, but then only a cargo plane, not a passenger plane.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot around that, and that would make sense. And that would also increase the cost of EVs, sadly.
It would. But I mean, like right now, when they ship gasoline cars, they get shipped with the very minimum amount of gasoline they have in it.
Right.
For two reasons. One, cost.
Right.
But also fire risk.
Right.
You know?
And unfortunately, I feel like cost is the more motivating reason there.
Yeah, for sure.
So hopefully we can find a balance to where we can actually ship those batteries in a safe way and it not cost so much that people are just cutting corners.
Right. So, I don't know. We have things to work out for sure with the electrification future. Of course we do.
Yeah.
There were things to work out, though, when gasoline cars came around.
It's true.
You know how many people died in the early days of cars because streets were for people walking?
Oh, wow. And like horses and buggies.
Yeah. And nobody even like understood what cars were or how to drive them.
Right.
People just be walking in the street because you didn't look. Like in the old days, you came out of a saloon, you started walking into the street, you didn't look both ways, make sure there was no traffic coming.
That's true.
You just walked, and then you got plowed over by a freaking Model T with its skinny wood tires that broke your rib cage.
Like, right. Yeah, and it couldn't stop because it had no contact patch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had no brakes, really.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's always hurdles to overcome with change. So we just have to overcome those hurdles, and hopefully it leads to a better future where we have faster cars that are also more energy efficient
and safer.
And also like my dream is to have like a performance electric car. Like I want to have my gasoline cars. I'm still going to have those.
Right.
I'm never getting rid of them, but I want to have like a performance daily driving electric car that charges off the solar panels on my roof. And I'm not tied to any government.
Right.
Like this is me, the don't tread on me part of me. Like,
yeah.
You know, this is me being truly energy independent.
Solar panels and wind power. I saw this guy on YouTube who built a miniature hydroelectric generator out of a washing machine.
Yes, I love those things.
Yeah, and he put it in the river behind his house.
Yeah.
And it made enough power for his lights and his TV and his stove.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, let's do shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? I would love to be sustainably energy independent.
Right.
Which honestly, that's one thing I love about that feature on the Ford Lightning.
You can run your house off of it?
Yeah, for 3 days.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
You could have a cabin in the woods with right. solar panels that's wired up for electricity but not hooked to any grid.
Yeah.
Drive your Ford in there, plug it in, and you've got electricity.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said before, conservatives want to talk about our energy independence. It's like, no, that's true energy independence.
Exactly.
On an individual basis.
Yeah, and you are responsible for your own energy. And right. Now I'm told that the new GM EV pickup truck, they're trying to work that same technology into it.
I mean, it can't be that difficult.
Right.
If Ford figured it out, it can't be that far along for everybody else, too.
Right, it's doable.
Right. I mean, Tesla had it figured out first, too. Like,
yeah.
You do that with the Tesla stuff, too.
You can run your house off of a Tesla as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it works backwards through their charger as well.
See, that's so cool.
Right? That's a feature that I like. And then, I've said it before, then for us old-timers at this point, we can have our gasoline cars, and we'll probably be running off that Porsche e-fuel stuff at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, which sadly, that wasn't as efficient as we'd like it to be, but it's just the first step.
Right? It's just the first step there. And so we can keep our internal combustion cars around for our enthusiast stuff and have our self-driving electric car for going to work.
Yeah, you can get dressed in the car on the way to work.
You can get drunk on the way home.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Can you imagine? Like, right now, it's like you end a fucking long shift and you have to drive through traffic.
Yep.
And just get more angry. Then you get home and you finally get that beer.
Yep.
Imagine, like, leaving and being like, cool, beer time.
Yep.
Video games. I am done.
Right.
I'll be home, I don't know, whenever I get home.
I think that would single-handedly improve marital relationships. Because right. You're not coming home, bringing home your shit from the day.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get your little time off to vent and to relax.
I've always found if I smoke a joint in the parking lot of work before I leave,
yeah,
I am a better person when I get home.
I listen to heavy metal, like screamo metal on the way home.
Nice.
So that helps me actually like relax.
That's like your catharsis for the day.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a way to just like rage out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I can you would have like a karaoke booth in your freaking self-driving car.
You totally could. Can you imagine pulling up next to people like that? They're just jamming. They're standing up, sloppily sliding around. Oh, that I want to live in that future.
Right? The future can be really cool.
Yeah.
But the now is still kind of depressing.
Yeah. And you know, this is a story that I was dreading covering because there's just really no positive spin on this.
Yeah. But there was no way we couldn't cover this.
We had to,
because it's a local thing too.
Yeah.
Subaru Speed Shop, SL Performance down in Colorado Springs here has allegedly, and we have to say allegedly because until it's proven in court, it's allegedly.
Right.
Has abandoned their shop and stolen all the engines out of all the Subarus that they were working on and just skipped town.
And there's a video of, what would you say, 30 cars? 30 Subarus parked on the side of the road waiting for
built
engines?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this supposedly, allegedly, this guy just took off, leaving all these beautiful cars with no motors.
Yep.
And not saying anything to the owners.
Yeah, and these weren't just like, you know, Outbacks and stuff. These were built EJs.
Yeah. You know. These are STIs, WRXs. I saw an FRS and a BRZ in that line.
Mm-hmm. These are people that put a lot of money, you know, 10 to 20 grand or maybe more into these cars.
Yeah. Yeah. And now they're sitting there with no motors. And it's not like it's easy to save up to build these things.
It's not. It costs a lot of money just to put a regular EJ in these things. Like a regular turbo EJ was an EJ... 205, is that the RX one?
You're talking about the JDM one?
Okay, that's the JDM one. What the WRX come with here?
So I know that the slim body I had an EJ25 in it.
Yeah, but there's like a code. So it's probably a 251, I think it is.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know my Subaru engine codes as well as my Hondas.
Yeah, the same.
Yeah.
But the turbo Subaru engines though, like to just get one of those now is like just a stock one is like $5,000-$6,000.
Yeah, and they don't make them anymore. Subaru's all FA, all aluminum now.
Yeah, although I think you can still buy reman or our units, or maybe brand new units from Subaru.
But I know they do short blocks.
Yeah.
So they don't do like a long block. You got to buy everything in pieces. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the turbo motors.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't remember. What was the name of this guy? I'll blast him on this. I don't care. The guy's name is Shane Leonard. So if you know a man named Shane Leonard, just make sure he's not the guy that ran SL Performance. But apparently this isn't the first time that Shane has done this.
Yeah. He's been accused of doing it in other states as well.
Yeah.
Which is really sad. I mean,
it also it's kind of shocking,
right? That he was able to get away with it and come here and do it.
Right. So some people are saying like, this is like the third or fourth time he's done this. I'm like, how?
Yeah. How has he not been caught?
Right.
Like
there's people out there like, oh, I'm not surprised this happened. Like, you know, that I heard about this guy over years before. I'm like, then how was he getting business?
Right. And it's not like you couldn't make money building Subarus in Colorado Springs.
Right.
Like, that's, and this was a really big shop. Like, he clearly had a lot of customers. He could have made an honest living.
Right.
He didn't have to steal, like, I mean, there are definitely people on this list of who got screwed over who are renting, who could own their home now.
Right. Which, I mean, there's a certain point where personal responsibility comes in and you're like, well
right. But they chose to do that and now they've got nothing.
Right. At least, you know, if they got that car done, they could sell it. Hopefully, you know, get some of that money back.
Right.
You usually don't get, you know, you only get a very small percentage back out of that kind of work that you do.
Right.
But also, like, I don't know what these people are doing. Like, maybe they make good money and this is what they want to spend their money on. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The fact is, like, they spent that money and now they have nothing to show for it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Now they've got a liability and not an asset.
Right. And, you know, we were talking about this before. This kind of happened with your truck where that shop owner just, like bolted.
Yeah, yeah. It was a mobile mechanic who had a shop that he shared with another technician, and he came really highly recommended from a coworker, and I didn't have the facility to pull the transmission and transfer case off my F-150 to replace that slave cylinder, so I paid him to do it. I didn't hear anything for months and months, and when I finally call, I got his partner like, oh yeah, he skipped town. Your truck's on the side of the road getting tickets.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
But at least that's a shitty situation. The guy's an asshole. But at least he didn't steal your engine at the same time.
At least I didn't come in and like, oh, well, he also just took the transmission with him.
Right.
He did take my key. He took my ignition key.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. I'm still using my spare.
Oh, my jeez. But like, so yeah, if this guy, this Shane Leonard guy would have, like, maybe he went like bankrupt and like, you know.
Yeah.
He would have just been like, hey, sorry, guys. Like, I'm closing down shop. I can't do this anymore. Or even if he was like, I can't deal with the stress, and he just left.
Right.
Like, well, I guess I'll go get my car from this place, you know?
Yeah.
But not like clearly this was intentional.
It was.
It takes time. Like, granted, if you do Subaru engines all the time, you could probably pull an EJ in like 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah, but still, the logistics of shipping 20 engines out of state to wherever he went.
With VIN stamps on them.
Yeah. Like, all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Like, they have VIN stamps on them. You can track that shit down.
Yeah, and you probably scratched them all off.
Right?
Yeah. But, so, I mean, you can't ship 20 engines out of state without planning.
True. Yeah.
You know, he had to plan to do this, and he's probably going to take this money and set up shop and do it somewhere else if his previous history is, you know, any indicator.
Right. But I think this story has blown up big enough that I don't think he's going to be able to set up anywhere.
Let's hope not. I mean, the Subaru community here is huge.
Yeah.
So he's made quite a bad name for himself.
Yeah.
And the other states that were mentioned seem to be a little bit more rural states. I mean, Colorado Springs is a metropolitan state.
Right. It's South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Colorado Springs is metropolitan. Like,
right.
There's not like a small town feel there.
Right. Yep. And now this is getting posted everywhere on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, so apparently he's deleted all of his social media and stuff like that. But there's a lot of people out a lot of money, and some people have been kind of taking the law into their own hands and trying to track him down and, you know, calling numbers and finding his family and calling his family, which don't do that.
Yeah, don't harass his family.
Yeah.
But I do hope somebody finds him.
Yeah, so do I. I hope this guy goes to jail for a long time, because,
yeah.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
That is a shitty situation.
Yeah, as a gearhead, I'm pissed off. As a person, I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
As a Coloradian, I'm offended.
As a mechanic, I'm pissed off.
Right.
Because it's just like, oh, great. Another thing that's just like, mechanics are all scammers.
Right. Yeah. Because there's that inherent breakdown, you know, because people don't understand what you're doing and they feel like they're getting taken advantage of.
Right.
It's hard enough to build trust in a relationship like that.
Yeah.
And assholes like this just make it worse.
Yep. Yep. And the more people that, like, it's a very small percentage of mechanics that rip people off.
But yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's such a big money ticket. You know, it's just, if you get ripped off for $5, like if you, I don't even know what kind of service, don't know, let's say you just go to a grocery store or something, and oh, this grocery store, the scanner, the person at the checkout scammed me for like $5 or something somehow.
Right.
You know, you're like, well, that fucking sucks. But you're not going to like, well, all cashiers are garbage now.
Right.
You know, but when you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars and you only have those interactions every once in a while.
Right.
You're like, well, this is just the way it is.
When you have no way of verifying it when you don't have the technical skill set.
Right.
You know, you don't know what you're paying for at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I love showing people, like bringing people back, taking pictures of things. You know, when I'm doing timing chains on a car, we have to drop the engine to take the front cover off to do timing chains. It's like, hey, there's a lot of things we're doing here.
Right.
And to do it right, you know, at the end of the day, this thing has to go 80 miles an hour down a highway.
Right.
You know, we want to make sure we're doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get to justify it. That's why I really like the rise of these video apps like My Karma and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where they can, you know, you just record on the tablet.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just show them a video. Like Jason's service writer at Nissan now, he doesn't even have to talk to his customers anymore.
No.
Yeah, he just hits a button and it sends all the tech videos to the customer's phone.
Yeah.
And they can just watch it and they know exactly what they're saying yes or no to.
See, I don't like that feature. I don't like the tech taking videos and trying to explain things. Techs aren't service writers.
Right, service writer's job is to explain things.
Yeah, it's their job to explain things in a layman's term and also make sure you understand it.
Right.
I can do that for sure, but also I don't have the time to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting paid flat rate. I gotta make time. I will give a technical description to the service writer who will then translate that to you and give you like... Yeah, I've seen some of the videos, the BMW, we had a BMW come into the old shop one time and the customer sent us their inspection to show us like what BMW had recommended.
Yeah.
But the thing was, they didn't understand what BMW recommended. They brought it to us because they're like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Can you tell me what this car actually needs?
Wow. Because the tech was speaking at such a high level.
Well, it wasn't even a high level. He was just like... He was like, well, you know, this thing is leaking, so we got to replace it. Like, well, no, what is that thing? What does it do?
Yeah.
You know, is that important? Is that little leak going to cause issues? Like, the customer has questions, but they have no answers when that's the
sole interaction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't really like that system. I like taking videos. I like taking pictures to show people exactly what we're doing.
Right.
But that has to go along with the description of... You know, what the actual issue is.
The service writer still has to explain it.
Right.
I mean, that explains a lot, actually, because I haven't heard a lot of techs talk that up.
Yeah.
Service writers love it.
Yeah, because it's less work for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can continue to play Candy Crush on their phone.
Wow, that's what they do.
Yeah, it is. They sit there and wait for phone calls.
Yeah.
Not ours, not the place I work at. Like, they're always doing stuff.
But. I mean, but even good writers, they spend a lot of time playing Pokemon Go on their phone or...
Yeah, you would know.
Yeah, I would.
But, you know, we're on a technical podcast right now. So, of course, to us, you know, or anybody listening, like, those videos would be great.
Right.
You know? We tend to forget as automotive enthusiasts, there's a lot of people that don't, they literally have, a car is black magic.
Yeah.
They put a thing in it and fill it up and they take it out and it runs and I don't know.
That's it.
Yeah. Which is a shame because that is, for a lot of people that don't own homes especially, that's the biggest investment they're ever going to make.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like there should be a system out there that will teach the layman what they should know about their car, just to own it and appreciate it and take care of it because this is a big asset and a, you know, big investment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like if the sales process and service process is done correctly, it can be that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not always the case.
No.
Or even frequently the case.
No. I mean, how many automotive enthusiast people, kind of go back to that SL performance, like that don't know, like... They don't know how their car works still, you know? Right. They want it to be faster, and they've read a couple things online, but they don't really understand what goes into it.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have I seen kids, like, think they're going to put $1,000 into a car and make 900 horsepower? I was like, no, you're not.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Well, I saw it on a YouTube video. Well, yeah, that's a shop that has all the equipment they need.
Yeah.
And they're not charging for their labor.
Right, that's $900 in parts.
Right.
At their wholesale rate.
Right.
Yeah.
With their machine shop they have attached to the front shop.
So they fabricated a bunch of stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that would have cost you $15,000. You know, like these Subarus, an engine build with a big turbo, you know, you're talking 15, 20 grand.
Right. And, but you're paying for it to be put together and so it can make 500 horsepower without blowing up.
Right. Exactly. That costs money.
Right.
This shit costs money. And that's why we, as in the budget enthusiasts that we are,
right,
do our own stuff.
Yeah. Because
it's the labor that really kills you.
The labor is what kills you.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think we got past all the bad stuff.
Did we?
Yes. There's only one. Two, actually. Two good things to talk about left.
Okay.
And we were talking about SEMA network and all that kind of stuff and how you can make a change in how the car laws were. And I had this article saved. There is some new legislation that went through that is allowing kit car manufacturers to make limited runs of reproduction vehicles. So your GT40s, your AC Cobras,
wow,
your Lotus 7s, Lotus Elans, stuff like that.
And they can sell them completed.
They can sell them completed.
With VIN numbers and they're registrable.
Yes.
Wow.
So it comes with some hoops that you have to jump through. They do have to meet current emission standards.
Okay, so that's a big hoop.
It's a pretty big hoop. Yeah. But, I mean, you can make a V8 still pass the emissions. Like, it just has to be... I don't think they have a CAFE requirement.
Okay.
So they can still make a big honking V8 for GT40.
It just needs a catalytic converter.
It just needs catalytic converters.
Right.
For the most part.
And OBD2 sensors and plugins.
Yeah. So at this point, you're probably going to see a lot of crate engines. You know, GM had that LSX crate engine.
Right.
It was all emissions legal.
And because they can pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you'll see, you know, a Miata drivetrain in a Lotus replica or something like that, you know.
That would actually be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is it? I think... I can't remember. One of the Lotus manufacturers had used the Miata drivetrain, you know? There's like those little, what are those little like three-wheeled things?
The Morgans.
Yeah, not the Morgans. There was another one. But this one was like front-wheel drive. I can't remember what it was called. They're kind of just weird.
Wait, the Reliant Robins?
Nope. Because it's a reverse trike still.
Okay.
Well, I can't find it right now, but it's like this kind of like bougie... like small production car, but that uses a Chevy Sonic drivetrain in the front.
And you see, that's cool because it's just a plug and play drivetrain.
Right.
Well, I know a lot of the old 7 kit cars ran Ford motors, the Duratec motors.
Yeah. So the emission stuff is a pain. It is a hoop to jump through.
Yeah.
But the fact is that, yeah, they can make limited run cars now with VINs, brand new.
Yeah.
And because before a lot of times you had to buy the engine separate. And put it in yourself, or take it to a shop to put it in.
And find a kit car way to register it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This would be a whole lot easier. And, you know, this is due to legislation and lobbying to allow these things to happen. So if you were part of the SEMA network, I'm sure they had something to do with it before that.
Yeah.
And thank you for allowing this. Also, this only allows replica cars.
Okay, so they can't just build something new.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that there's still we still have ways to go for that. I really hate Britain is really great for that. You can do small production run cars of your own design.
That's how they can make cars out of wood.
Yeah, exactly. So you can make cars out of wood. Yeah, but also like the kit car industry in Britain is so much bigger than here in America, just because people are allowed to do that. You know, they get those like SL Superlights, like the McLaren type clones.
Oh yeah,
McLaren F1 style clones, or
yeah, like the old, like they'll make replicas of the old F1 cars.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, exactly. And they make them like street legal and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like everyone wants to say America is the land of the free. It's like Britain, you just build shit like that in Britain and register it, and they're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, here you'll get pulled over and it'll get impounded,
right? Crushed or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. In some states, they can ask you to pop the hood and check for mods.
Yeah, so stupid.
It's wild.
But yeah, this is the type of thing that comes from using your voice. And I mean, these replica like race cars and antique cars are mostly for rich people.
Right, so they're not cheap.
So it was probably the rich people doing the lobbying.
Right.
Because they have the money to do it. But hey, combined... we have money.
Yeah.
You know?
Look what happened with GameStop stock.
Right. God, I actually made quite a bit of money on that.
Right?
Yeah. But luckily, I got out before it dipped, because I knew it was going to dip, unlike all the weird people that are still in it.
Oh, I'm holding one share symbolically. It's just a support thing.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, and it still goes up and down.
Yeah.
It still like almost hits $300 sometimes.
But there's still people that think it's going to go to like $1 million.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just doing it because I had to support the idea of just like, oh, hey, let's just get together and break Wall Street.
Yeah. No, I love that idea. I just had to make money.
Yeah.
So the second good thing I wanted to talk about is, hey, you're listening to episode 40 of this podcast.
We made it to 40, man.
I don't get this far in anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
you know how many jobs I've had since we started this?
Right, it's true. Just in the time we've been doing this podcast, you've had four jobs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Hyundai makes four.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I have ADHD. I surround myself. All the members of our team pretty much have ADHD. I don't know what it is about that.
Yeah.
I think we just sort of like, oh, you think like me. Thank right. God we can get along.
We're on that neurodivergent train.
Right. So, yeah, I never stick to things like this. So I do want to thank you, Chris, for helping me get to 40, because I don't think I would have done that if I didn't have, you know, the support of you, support of my girlfriend, who pushes me to keep doing this all the time, you know.
I mean, dude, thanks for bringing me on. This has been a blast. I can't wait to see where it goes. But, I mean, to be honest, every 2 weeks doing this, probably some of the best weekends I'm spending.
Right.
You know, like, I get to talk about cars and bullshit and have, you know, the 10 people that listen to us. It's awesome.
Well, it's a few more than 10, but to those 10 really diehard people and to everybody else that listens, like, thank you for listening to help, you know, keep us going on this. You know?
Yeah.
If like you said, like, sitting down to talk about cars and stuff, we do that anyways, and we probably be doing it. But at a certain point, if we were still like zero listeners, I'd be like, well, let's just talk about cars.
Right.
Well, why are we doing all this other work? We'll
just get together and have a beer.
Right. Exactly. this takes work.
Yeah.
It may not look like it, but this may not sound like work to you, but it's the podcast itself isn't the work. It's the finding the stuff, the editing, the uploading, the managing, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I'm amazed that I have kept going to 40, and thank you everybody for supporting us and pushing us this far.
Hopefully, we'll be here talking about episode 100.
Yeah, no, I don't see why we wouldn't be at this point.
Like, yeah.
And I am excited for the growth of this Religion of Speed.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're going to be doing some really cool stuff here. I know I always talk about the YouTube channel and stuff like that, and that hasn't really materialized because there's only so much time in the day.
Right.
But with the people we're adding onto the team right now, we're going to do some cool shit.
Yeah, I'm excited. And, you know, this is something, I hate to jump too far ahead of us, but I would definitely, we're going to try to post the podcast as a video episode as well.
Yes, we are working on how to make that work.
Yes, so that you'll have an option to watch on YouTube or listen on Spotify or Anchor or Radio Public or wherever you catch it.
Yeah, Apple Podcast. If you do, also, just a quick side note, if you do listen to Apple Podcast, please rate us. That super helps us on their charts. But yeah, you know, if we have a video aspect to this, then you can actually see the things we're talking about instead of having to go to religiousspeed.com and go into the podcast page and then following the links, which is a bit of a pain.
Yeah, but I do appreciate the dedication of anyone and everyone who does that.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I just wanted to say, hey, awesome. We made it to 40. I can't wait for 80, 100, 140, whatever it is.
Dude, it's exciting. 40 episodes is an accomplishment.
Right. And yeah, things have changed a lot. If you were one of those people that started from episode one, oh, freaking, I'm amazed you're still here. You know, the show has changed a lot. And I'm sure by episode 100, it'll be quite different too.
But yeah.
I'm curious to see where this evolves into.
Yeah, I'm excited and I'm happy to be on this train, Matt. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. I already kind of mentioned it, but I'll mention it again real quick. If you want to follow all the rest of the stuff we're doing, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at religionofspeed.co. You can always check out religionofspeed.com to keep up to date with everything we're doing. The YouTube channel, yeah, give that a break for right now, but we'll be back to that pretty soon. I think that just leaves one thing.
We'd like to thank the band Wheels for the use of our theme song Colors off the album Traveler Part 1. You can find them at Wheels the Band at bandcamp.com.
All right, that's going to do it for us, Heretics. Chris, once again, thank you. And until next time, Heretics, peace out.